Get Talent Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Get Talent Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Cross, and I'm here with my good friend, colleague, talent expert, all-around great guy, Danny Herskowitz. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
I feel like you're taking shots at me with this topic, Danny. I'm going to be honest with you.
I promise.
I feel triggered. I feel targeted. I feel like there's a hostile work environment.
You know what? I promise this wasn't inspired by you. It's inspired by someone else. So, no.
Yeah, that's what you say. But the only guy you invited on the show today was me. So, I don't see anybody else here. Who else are you talking to, Danny?
It's not looking good.
We're talking about what, Danny?
We're talking about bad bosses.
Bad bosses. Everybody's favorite topic in the workplace. It feels like boss, auto boss. Oh, can you believe the boss? Oh, boss.
Well, this was inspired by Jack Champel.
Jack Champel's a bad boss. Newsflash. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No, Jack. We love Jack. No, tell people before they get the wrong idea that I gave them. Why is this inspired by Jack?
Because we did a podcast last week about risk-averse candidates and some of the challenges you have when you're looking to hire those people. And in the comment section, Jack wrote that, you know, a risk-averse candidate would leave for two reasons. He said a bad manager and no growth opportunities or being passed over, which is obviously a result of having a bad manager. John Maxwell wrote, people quit people, not company.
I do like that quote.
Yeah, the famous leadership expert, you know, and best-selling author wrote about this. And it's a great quote. It really is.
Yeah, all right. I'm the boss. Which is like the most arrogant thing you could ever say. Like, that's that first half of the sentence. That is not the totality of the sentence. Right. And so I'm going to take probably the less popular counterpoint. People quit people, not companies. Okay, cool. Yeah. But a company is really just a collection of people, right? So, I mean, in a way, this to me is kind of a tautology. It's kind of a, I don't know. I mean, I think this is also a way for people to abdicate responsibility for their decisions and say, listen, you know, I could have stayed there and been successful. I just didn't have the right leadership. I don't know. What do you think, Danny? Am I crazy? Am I just triggered?
I'm always taking the kind of the balanced approach, right? So for me, it's a relationship. And we always talk about, right, trust is earned on both sides of it.
Right.
So I think the employee has to earn the boss's trust. And exactly in the same way, the boss has to earn the employee's trust. This is where I think it gets a little complicated, right? It's usually one or the other, right? Like one party is not taking the responsibility and kind of maybe moving it toward the other person. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, a boss, I like what you said there, boss has to earn the trust, right? And so, you can't just say, hey, I cut you a check every 2 weeks. Let's get into these traits though, Danny, because I think this is really interesting. All right, top three bad boss traits. Number one, micromanagement.
You know, there was a study, comparably study, found that the number one worst trait reported in a boss was micromanagement. So people feel this way, right?
When you hear micromanagement, what do you think?
To me, it's like lack of freedom. Every employee.
What does freedom mean to you? Because I assume you can leave your home at any time.
Well, you'd assume that, but it's not true. autonomy, right? That's the way I see it. It's like having the ability to kind of create, right? To be creative in the way that you do things, not a prescribed method of doing it that way. That always was hard for me. And I think, you know, some managers will tell you, you have to do it this way. This is the only way to do it. And for me, that was really difficult because then it almost stops you from being yourself. And I'll say this.
It's my way or the highway kind of thing. Like this is there's only one way to do it. I worked for a guy one time. The joke was there's three ways to do something. There's the right way, the wrong way, and the boss's way.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Right.
You know, and that not performing thing is a really interesting thing because that's really subjective, right?
It is. That's true. I think that we talk about accountability, right? So in my opinion, I think you give people the freedom until they need, and I don't look at it as like monitoring. The way I see it as is supporting them. It's like coaching them, you know? So you're not, you know, reprimanding them. I would say, hey, you're struggling here by yourself. You need a little extra help here. Let's look at what you're doing and then try to fix it. You know, let me help you. So when you were an employee, right? Not, you know, in the corporate world, how did you feel about micromanagement? What were your thoughts on it?
You know, honestly, when I think back on it, it was many times I was asked to compile reports like manually like compiling reports like a tick sheet or like entering data into a spreadsheet in order to substantiate the activity that I had, or often because we didn't have the technology solution. So they were asking me to use my time for that.
Yeah.
Which doesn't, I'm not sure if that's micromanagement or just like a lack of investing in tools to not respect my time, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
The other thing I think is like a lot of times it's centered around stuff I didn't want to do, though. If I'm being honest with you, if I'm thinking about it, it was like managing me to a task that I didn't want to do where there was a lot of avoidance. And maybe I'm calling them a micromanager, but maybe they were just managing me to an end that I just didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Let's keep it moving. Okay. So number one is micromanagement. What is number two, Danny?
Number two is the lack of empathy. So there was a survey done. So this is, you know, not my own personal opinion. It's a lot of other people's too. More than half of the people, 54%, left their last job because their boss was not empathetic.
But like, let's just assume for a second, let me throw a scenario at you. You have an employee who's just not good at what they do.
Yeah.
And they have to exit. What are you supposed to empathize with?
Yeah, I think for me as an employee, to me, that's a business decision, right? And empathy is, there's a lot of emotion involved in that. So I think you can separate the two in a way, because even if you do have to let somebody go, you can still be empathetic toward them, because I think you have to be honest with yourself. Sometimes when you're letting someone go, you're doing the right thing by them.
I agree. I mean, I think there's definitely ways to separate where it's like, you know, listen, you know, I know this isn't working out. This isn't a good fit. I think when you say things like it's not a good fit, and like if you really mean it and like there's trust there.
Genuine.
You know, I think that's like an empathy thing. But it's not gonna change. I mean, it's not gonna change the fact that the employee's probably gonna feel pretty crappy in the moment. Let's keep it moving here. Number three, top three bad boss traits. Number three, Danny, what is it?
Lack of recognition.
Bing. What does this look like? We already got a great example from somebody. They said every time I did something, they only told me what I did wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and I've been in that situation where, you know, you feel proud of the work you've done, and then the boss will come over and not even recognize what you did, right? And I think you've got to recognize what the person did to earn their trust.
So I can actually understand, even though it's like a totally kind of egregious example that was outlined before by Isaac here, but I can understand how this happens. And I'll tell you exactly how this happens, right?
Yeah.
To warn the bosses out there, because this isn't like intentional, I think. And this isn't like this is how this happens. You ever like talk to somebody and like you talk to them so often that like you forget to say hello when you start the conversation?
Take it for granted, right?
Yeah. You forget to like warm them up with like, how was your weekend? And you just tap right into what you need from somebody.
All the time.
This lack of recognition thing starts to creep in. People just forget to start with the good and start with the positive, and they give you the thing that's missing that you need to know. They assume it's implied. The thing that isn't obvious to you is the thing you didn't do. So I'm going to tell you what that is.
Right.
But anyway, we don't earn the right as leaders to even make that commentary and that coaching, because we didn't do the requisite first thing, which is to recognize the contribution.
Exactly. And it's like, it's extra effort. You're right. Because you can automatically, you're just so focused. I can see as a boss, you're so focused on
it takes twice as long.
On, right? So you're like, I'm just going to get to the point here. Like, I don't have time for this. And the employee's sitting there and be like, you don't care about me? You don't appreciate me?
You don't have time for me?
You don't have time for me? Exactly. Like,
all you ever do is complain. All you ever talk to me about is negative stuff.
Right, exactly. And that's the way they're seeing it. We need those. I think a lot of us, not all of us, need these like words of affirmation. I think we're wired that way, you know?
I think, and I think it means more to certain people than it does to other people and certain job types than it does to other job types. However, I think there are a few things that I would recommend here. One is that you're always talking to your team individually about how what they do contributes to the overall goal. Two, you need to make sure to have filler time with no agenda with people.
Yeah.
Because that's where the recognition is going to come out, in the filler time.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. What would you say? Like, do you think it's on the employee to give recognition to the boss?
I'll tell you what, you talk about how much I love to give recognition to y'all, and I really do.
Yeah.
I try to make it a point of emphasis. I think I could even do it more, to be honest with you. But gosh, when y'all tell me I did a good job, when y'all thank me for hopping in and helping out on something or whatever, like, it means so much to me. And I crave it like y'all are my boss. I crave it like y'all are my, I mean, I seek your approval.
I think that's important for employees to hear. you talk about empathy, I think they have a hard time empathizing with the boss if they've never been a boss.
And you know what? Drew Phillips has been a boss. He's been an entrepreneur. He's run the show before, you know, so he has that perspective. Ironically, it was funny because we were joking before about the boss, like, well, I pay you. What do I need to recognize you for? You know, I think employees do the same thing to the boss. They say, well, you make so much money. You're making the big bucks. Yeah. You know?
Right. And how do you combat that is, I think, by appreciating each other so it doesn't become resentful. Right. That's really
100%. And every person in the organization can be responsible to initiate a chain reaction of appreciation and recognition. Because if I say, Danny, good job, great job, you really nailed this, I'm so proud of you, you're doing phenomenal, what are you going to say in return to me?
I'm going to say, thank you, appreciate the support. And then that's going to make me want to do it to someone else on the team. Give it out. Just keep it.
And now I'm appreciated. So I've appreciated you, and now you've appreciated me back.
Yeah.
And now we have this strength, this strong thing, and we're lifted up, right?
Exactly.
Whereas if I say to you, Danny, hey, you know, you really screwed that up. I can't believe you did that. And you're going to say to me, well, but you told me to, or you gave me bad information. And now we start finger pointing. And now we're apart and lower. We're together and raised.
Exactly.
We got two things I want to end with here. Some effects of bad bosses.
Effects of bad bosses.
This is my favorite part because it's like, so what?
So what?
So what? Like, why does it matter?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's talk about them, right? So there's a couple of them. So the first one is negative reputation. There's no study with this one. I guess putting myself, if I was a boss, I would be concerned about what people are saying, because people talk in a small industry. So I'd be concerned, you know, and as recruiters, it's very difficult for us to recruit companies that have just a bad reputation.
We don't touch them. There's companies out there that have a bad reputation. Everybody that goes to works there leaves in 6 months or a year. They end up crying. They're in therapy. And then over a glass of wine at the next NTRP meeting, they're going to be telling me, I can't believe this place. I can't do this anymore. Oh, my gosh, those people are terrible. And I'm like, I'm not going to knowingly put somebody in that situation.
That will definitely impact the ability to recruit good candidates.
100%. And then you know what else? You got a study here that I thought was...
Good hire study. Started in a few different places. 82% would quit because of a bad manager. So employee turnover, right? That's going to impact your hiring as well. People keep seeing that people are leaving. That's tough. That's tough for us to recruit for as recruiters.
You know, market reputation, you got attrition. And this is actually my favorite one.
Me too.
Definitely. Bad bosses don't hire A players. Why not, Danny?
I think we might all do it to an extent. You know, if I was a boss, I wouldn't put it this past me, right? So I think there's a lot of us that are insecure as people. And you're sometimes insecure about hiring someone that you think is better than you, that you think is smarter than you. And that is really bad, because you're just going to seek out people that aren't helping your company grow.
I think that sometimes they're intimidated. I think bad bosses are intimidated. I think a lot of the things that make bad bosses, if they're doing it on purpose, I think a lot of it's accidental. But if they're doing it on purpose, maliciously, because they're a jerk, it's because they're trying to compensate for something else, or a lack of confidence around like their own abilities or where they're at in their career.
Yeah.
Or they're aggravated about where they're at their career, the level or their lack of achievement.
Yeah.
And that's the worst, because then they'll actively keep A players down in the org or resist them altogether. I worked for a person like this for a year and 8 months. I still remember how many months it was. It was an awful time for me. Learned a lot. Every struggle and hardship, right? You learn a lot. But this person, I felt like, was actively trying to suppress me. And he was just a jerk, because he just was never like, he kind of like hit a level and it wasn't that amazing. I remember one time talking to this manager, and he's like, you don't give me work, I give you work. Cause I was like, hey, could you help me with this, this, and this? He's like, you don't give me work, I give you work. That's not how this works, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, if you want me to be, you know, as good as I can be, can you help me out a little bit with this?
Yeah.
And his thing was to delegate everything down. Nothing ever came up for help. You ever asked him for something, he wouldn't use his little political capital he had to help you out.
You made a good point to me. Intentional, right? So there's a difference. I think you got to look at the person's, that's where the empathy comes in. Look at the person's intention. Look at what they're trying to do. If you see a boss who's actively trying to just put you down, you know, we all do things. And that's the thing. I just want to say this. There's no perfect boss. You know, even is there a good boss? None of us are perfect, right? And everyone's going to feel differently about it.
But on our next podcast, good bosses don't exist.
Good bosses don't exist. To me, the bad boss is somebody who's intentionally trying to keep you down and do these things. And I think that's what it comes down to. And it sounds like you didn't trust that boss. There was a lack of trust.
I personally think that actually the days of that bad boss who is maliciously trying to keep people down, I think the days are numbered for that person.
Harder now.
I don't think it exists the way it used to exist.
Well, we have these podcasts now talking about it.
Yeah,
and they're talking about this.
Yeah, you got Glassdoor reviews, you got 360 reviews, you've got, you know, people can leave at a, you know, the drop of a hat, you know? I mean, so those people get exposed way quicker now than they were. I mean, gosh, I mean, the whole like Me Too movement. I mean,
so much information out there, right?
Right. So many ways that these people get exposed and rooted out that, I mean, while I'm sure it still exists because human nature, or whatever, I think some of that behavior has been policed a little bit.
I think you're right, because I talk to people from, you know, even, you know, we're a bit older in the, older than the younger,
of course. So
we're older, right? All of us talk about these horrible bosses, right? And I think you're right. You're starting to see less of that.
I think, you know what? That's probably that great boss. Like, if you want to find out what a great boss is, if they do exist, it's that person that can turn B's to A's.
Transform
they
people.
They can do that. Yeah.
I mean, you told me when I joined Glomo, you said you're going to be a different person in 2 years. 2 years later, I think I'm a different person. And I think that's, to me, that's what we talk about, right? What Jack was talking about, lack of growth. So I think a good boss helps you grow, right? So I think
check this out, man. I'm going to throw some numbers at you.
Yeah.
Since you've been at Glomo, you build over $500,000 in 1 year, done 40 podcasts, and probably something else I can't think of right now. That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, and that's
yeah,
thing,
so
right?
I think you're an A player for sure, you know, and I think you've grown quite a bit and changed. Yeah. I think it's really cool to see.
Thanks, man. And I appreciate that. And I think, like you said, right, it's on me too. And I think one thing is, you know, we help each other grow. So the employee also helps the boss, right? We learn from each other. I know we talk about that all the time. It is a two-way street, right? It's your job to inspire your employees, but I think the employees got to inspire their bosses too.
This is awesome. This is a lot of fun. What topics do y'all want to see on the next Get Talent podcast? Let us know. Thanks for everybody getting involved. Let us know what else you want to hear from. This was a Jack Jampel inspired one, so hopefully you can check it out. All right, well, if you want to see any other topics, let us know. Throw them in the comments, DM us, whatever. Appreciate everybody checking us out. Yeah. Get Talent here. We can ever help you with your hiring needs. Danny, what do you say? We can get some lunch?
Sounds good. Let's do it. Let's do it. I remember my first day got bagels. So bringing it back, right? That's
a little thing right now. It's 12:19. I'm dangerous. All right. I'll talk to y'all later. Take care, everybody.
Take care.
We'll see you next week. Get Talent Podcast.